Welcome, everyone, to the program. This is David Greenwald. Today I have on the phone with me Jen Eisen. Jen, how you doing?
Pretty good, thank you.
Great. Hey, tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you? What do you do? Give us your height. Anything you want to tell us that kind of gives us a little background into who you are, where you are, and what you do.
Okay. My name is Jen Eisen. I am currently a group fitness instructor and personal trainer. I work for 24 Hour Fitness and the YMCA of Arlington. I am 5'8 and currently 162 pounds, and last I checked, I do believe 18% body fat. I have two wonderful boys, and I live in Texas.
Okay, Jen, and you're married, and you got a husband, and all that kind of good stuff?
Yes.
How long have you guys been married?
We have been married 9 years.
Okay. And so you're 5'8", you're 162.
Yes.
Well, that takes care of now, so let's go back a little bit. When did you first find the Leanest Lifestyle program?
I found it after my first son was born, and I guess he was probably about 3 years old at the time, so it was close to 4 years ago, 5 years ago.
Okay.
I had stalled out on Body for Life, and it wasn't detailed enough. I was finding that my portion sizes were getting bigger, my fists were getting bigger, and a friend of mine, Deb Baxter, introduced me to your book, and the rest is history from there.
Yeah, I think we call that, one of my members affectionately called that fist expanding, the ever-expanding fist program, EEF. So, all right, so when you were going through that, and you were kind of stalled out, what weight were you stalled out back then?
I would fluctuate about 175, 180. I'm not a great deal more than I am now,
right.
But I would say just, you know, 10 or 15 pounds is still quite a bit more than you'd want to carry.
Oh, you're going to see the difference.
Yeah, I was surprised.
Yeah, you're definitely going to see a difference. When if you're going from 280 to 270, you won't see that much a difference. But you're at 175 to 165 on a 5'8 frame, you're definitely going to see the difference.
Right.
So, all right, so you were at 175-ish, 180 with Body for Life. You had stalled out. However, you had come down from something much higher. Where were you? Give us a little bit of history of your weight and fitness and this whole transformation journey, because you didn't start at 190 and then go Body for Life down to 175 and stall out.
No. I started, when I got pregnant, I was probably 210. I was already 210, so I had already put on quite a bit of weight, and my weight went up to 257. I went to go see an endocrinologist who told me that I was just too bad. I was genetically predetermined to be obese. I might as well get used to it. There's nothing I could do. And that really ticked me off because I couldn't refuse to accept that as an answer.
Good for you.
So I started looking into programs that were nutritionally sound. I had tried Atkins, you know, all the crazy fad diets that were out at the time. And everything works for a while, and then I would put the weight back on plus a few extra pounds. And so I just started looking, and I found Body for Life, and slowly combining that with exercise, I got down below 200, and then I started teaching fitness, even when I was heavy, and just kind of kept plugging away at it, and I eventually got to the point where I just couldn't lose anymore.
How old are you now, Jen?
I'm 33.
So you were about 29 or 30?
Yes.
When you first found us and you had kind of stalled out there?
Yes.
So since high school, what did you weigh like when you graduated high school and up to the beginning of your first pregnancy?
Oh, dear. I guess when I graduated, I was about 155. And I went to college and put on the freshman 15. I think
right.
Everybody did.
You bet.
Deep fried everything,
mm-hmm.
and late night pizzas do it for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I graduated college, and I started flying. I was an EMS pilot for a Cook Children's Hospital here in Fort Worth. And we would sometimes get home at 3 or 4 in the morning and had been flying all night. So you'd go to Whataburger at 3 o'clock in the morning, then go to sleep. So it just gradually over the next year and a half just crept up on me, and before I knew it, I'd met my husband, and I was already 200 pounds, and went up from there.
Off you go, yeah. So, all right, so you didn't want to go back to Body for Life necessarily. You were looking for something different because you had just stalled out and didn't really exactly know why.
Right.
So when you first found the leanest lifestyle, what did you weigh? 175, 180?
Yeah, between there.
What were you wearing in pants or dress size, do you think?
Oh, gosh, probably at 16, sometimes an 18. It depended on the cut.
And so was 257 your heaviest ever?
Yes.
Okay. And you're 162 today?
Correct.
So you found the program. You got, I think you got one of my earlier books. It was like three-ring binder.
Correct.
Right? Before we did the old polished, finished, published, you know,
yes,
bound book and all that. So you must have had version 2 or version 3 because the bound one is version 4. So did you try my program and have success, or how did it go? What happened?
It did. It was working very well. And we decided to try for baby number 2 and got pregnant right off the bat, and everything that I was eating made me sick to my stomach. So the only thing that kept... The only thing I keep down was ginger ale and saltines for a long time.
Okay, yeah.
And I, unfortunately, am one of those people when I nurse, I'm sure, you know, people have told you that when you nurse, you know, the weight drops off. That just wasn't the case for me at
mm-hmm.
all. And so I just kind of put everything on the back burner until I was done nursing my second child. And everything was, I knew what I had to do. Everything was set up and ready to go. And the day I weaned him, I went right back.
All right, so as far as the timetable, you started my program, had success, got down from the 175 or 180 stuck to what?
I'd actually only lost about 5 pounds. I got down to 170. So it was only, I would say it was probably only a few months I was actually on it, but not, I was still learning. I wanted to go before I read the whole book.
You wanted
so
to go?
I just wanted to get going, so I was trying to, you know, figure out what my macronutrient ratios should be.
Right.
And all of that before I really understood what I should be doing. So the weight didn't come off as fast.
Right. So you only lost like 5 pounds in 3 months.
Right.
Okay, so yeah, you know, by ordinary standards, that would be, it's good, because anytime we have a loss, we say good. But it's slower than what we would normally expect. And then about the time you got to 170... It was time, you got pregnant.
Yes.
Okay. So then it's go back up.
All the way back to 257 again.
All the way back to 257. And what year was this?
This was, I had my second child in 2002.
Okay. So, all right. So all the way back up to 257.
Yes.
And so then you nursed.
Correct.
You finished nursing. Because you said, you know, we're going to just back burner this a little bit. All right. So now, post-pregnancy... Done nursing, what do you weigh?
Still at 257.
Oh, still 257.
I didn't budge an inch.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you started at 257, and now you'd said, I had so much awesome success losing 5 pounds in 12 weeks with this leanest lifestyle program that I have got to go back to that so I can lose, you know, another 5 pounds in 12 weeks. What possessed you to come back when you only lost 5 pounds in 12 weeks?
I actually, I was on bed rest with my second child from the 8th month through the 9th month. So I had time to sit and read the book and reread the book and understand what I'd done wrong, the things that I was not incorporating that I needed to incorporate, and just understood a little bit better about really, truly understanding keeping track of things. And eating out isn't as safe as you think it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even when you think you're doing something healthy, you're really not. So as soon as I nursed him, I started the second time in January of 2003. And by June of 2003, I had lost 80 pounds.
No, that's more like it now. No, that's more like it. Darn it all.
That's the way it's supposed to go.
Well, that's actually faster than, you know, now you went the other way. Now you actually lost it faster than most people lose it. So you lost 80 pounds between January and June?
Yes.
Okay. Now, was it exclusively, I mean, as far as the basis of your program, was it exclusively leanest lifestyle? I know you used a home video program for working out as well, right?
I actually was teaching fitness.
You were teaching it, so
yes.
Okay. So is that where you got most of your activity, was in the teaching?
Yes.
Okay. Did you train kind of on your own as well?
I did.
Okay. All right, we'll cover that in just a second then. All right. So you lost about 80 pounds. So you got down to what, 157-ish?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. Around June of 2003.
Correct.
So what has your weight done between June of 2003 and now, which is almost October of 2006?
It's, I do try to keep that ballpark. I mean, I can talk about it. I keep mine at 5 pounds.
Okay.
Anything above that, you can't talk yourself that it's, you know, tell yourself it's water weight. Or
right.
I did sprain my ankle last October and brought all of my fitness to a grinding halt, and I am an eater. I don't like to starve myself. I do like to eat. And I put 10 pounds back on, and then that's why I'm back down to 162 now. So I'd lost a few of the pounds and not quite back down to where I was.
Right.
We're working on it.
Right, yeah. Still not too shabby, Jen. Not too shabby as far as keeping the weight off for that long. Very unusual, very uncommon, no doubt about it. Puts you in a really select group of people. And, you know, when I teach my classes, I tell people straight out that it is a very select group of people who will get off that amount of weight and keep it off for at least 2 years, no doubt about it. So as you went through the process, like you said, you're an eater. So what, for you, when you're losing 80 pounds in 6 months, what's harder than you thought it would be? What was harder, and what was easier maybe than you thought it would be?
Oh, dear. Eating clean was a lot easier than I thought it was going to be.
Hmm.
I don't think there's a food on the planet I don't really like. So I was willing to try anything and everything, and I didn't have to wean myself into steamed vegetables without sauce. It was just an easy transition for me. The hard thing was discovering trigger foods.
Mm-hmm.
And that was extremely depressing.
Well, it's like mourning the loss of a loved one.
It is.
The old true standby, the old friend that never lets you down when you're sad. You just sit and munch on it, and you feel better temporarily.
Exactly.
And then
you feel worse.
Then you feel worse, much worse afterwards. So what did you decide to do about the trigger foods? Did you decide to try to have a little, or did you just abstain, zero?
I did try to have a little. And with me, I get to that point, and like you said, you know, one bite is too much.
Right. A thousand will never be enough.
Exactly. And I resembled a shark in a feeding frenzy with the eyes rolled in the back of the head.
Right.
I would finish whatever it is until it's done.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to, you know, budgeting it in for my calories just wasn't working.
Right.
And it just turned into a free-for-all. So I just cut it out for a few months. And I'm actually to the point now, and it's still 3 years later, it still is a struggle, but
right.
I can feel the breaking point coming.
Okay.
So I know now that, okay, I'm getting to the point where I'm going to lose control, so I get rid of it.
So you essentially, as far as your triggers, in my book I talk about basically you've got a couple options. One very common option, one I normally suggest when you do totally realize it's a trigger, is you're going to have to basically abstain from that food.
Mm-hmm.
It may be only be for 6 months. It may be forever. We don't know. But you're probably going to have to abstain because, like you just said, typically one bite will be too many and a thousand will never be enough. So that sounds like basically once you figured out your triggers, that's what you did.
That's it, exactly.
Yeah. And now you're saying that a few years later, you're finding that you can have some of those foods, or no?
Yes, but very, very small amounts.
Okay.
I thought I could eventually add it back in, you know, like quote unquote normal people eat, but I'm still not able to do that fully.
Right. Well, you know, triggers are typically the best thought of as, you know, addictive substances, and I don't know too many people that could, you know, quit smoking entirely and then come back and just have a cigarette or two.
Right.
Just usually isn't going to work. Now, the reason I say in my book, you know, cut it out for 6 months and then perhaps give it a try is, with food it is a little different sometimes. And sometimes you can begin to incorporate some of those old triggers back in. But sometimes, truly, it's a zero tolerance on some of those. So during this six-month transition, this transformation, you know, what do you remember any stumbling blocks you had or anything you had to overcome? I mean, you had a little baby.
I did. having a having leverage was crucial to not letting the blunders and the slip-ups become you know, just out of control, it's not worth the trouble events.
Right.
I had a wedding to attend of people from high school that I hadn't seen in 15 years. So that was a huge, huge motivator to stay on track. For me, the big things were illness. If I got sick, that tended to really throw a wrench in the works for me.
Sure.
You know, you want to throw in the towel. It's
right. You go back to kid-like.
Exactly. That's,
you know,
exactly it.
I want Grandma to take care of me with chicken soup and, you know, and popsicles or whatever.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that was, you know, it's coming back after that and not letting being sick derail you.
All right. As you were going through this and you're in an action phase, you know, generally speaking, how many meals a day did you eat?
Probably five.
Okay. And what is a typical day like? Because you're still basically at that weight. You're at 162. So what, you know, do you eat pretty much now the way you did when you were going through the process?
Yes.
So what's a typical day?
Breakfast is usually a shake, a protein shake,
mm-hmm.
Which both of my boys love. And mid-morning is, gosh, it just depends on where I am. It's usually either a handful of the natural almonds, and an apple, or an apple and string cheese. Lunch can be anything from a salad on whole grain bread, a sandwich on whole grain bread, a salad with tuna. Dinner is pretty much the same almost every night. We have chicken prepared one way or another, grilled or baked. My favorite standbys are sweet potato and broccoli. Steamed broccoli and snacks. We do air pop popcorn. Oh my gosh, I'm trying to think. That's pretty standard. Or the protein bars, something quick and easy that we can run with.
How'd your husband feel about you going through this process and the food changing? Did he, you know, whatever he wanted, and then you made your own food, or what happened?
No, I told him that if he didn't like it, he could cook his own meals.
Good for you.
He has not completely adopted as healthy a lifestyle as I would like him to, but he does not complain about the food. He does complain about the lack of junk in the house. We don't keep sodas. We don't keep candy, cookies.
Right.
We just don't need it. But other than that, he's been very supportive.
What's his name?
His name is Kevin.
Kevin, good job, boy. Good job, boy. Thanks for supporting. Because, you know, it can go the other way, big time, in unsupport and sabotage. So I hear what you're saying. In other words, he's come a long way. He still has certain issues with not having certain junk food items he'd like to have at hand in the house, and, you know, and that kind of a thing. But like you said, for the most part, he's supportive and he doesn't really complain. So good job, good job. It does help.
It does, and he knows my trigger foods, and if he does happen to bring them into the house, he knows to hide them, so I don't know where they are.
Good man, good man. That's right. All right, hey, you know, back to the triggers. Give some examples of what your known triggers are.
I was going to sound silly, but it's actually sheet cake with buttercream frosting.
Sure.
Is my big one.
Okay.
And any sweets of any kind, cookies,
okay,
cakes, candy, it does not matter.
Got it. How about exercise? How much exercise did you do while you were losing the weight? How much exercise do you do now?
Oh, boy. I would say those first 6 months, probably 400 to 500 minutes of exercise a week.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's still probably 300 to 400, probably closer to 400. And if I'm training for an event, it's closer to 500.
What events are you training for?
I've been doing the last 3 years now. I do a half marathon every December, and I do the sprint distance triathlons.
And for the people that don't know what the distances are on sprint for triathlon, what is that?
That is, it's usually an 800-meter swim, anywhere from a 12 to 20-mile bike, followed by a 5K. It's a little over a 3-mile run.
Is this for fun, or are you competitive?
No, it's just for fun.
Okay. I think it's great. I think it's great. Anybody that's listened to me at all before knows that I think that training, exercising for a purpose other than weight loss is just outstanding. Did you, when you first were losing the weight, were you training specifically just to get rid of the weight, and did you make a shift into the competitive?
Yes.
So how does it feel, or how did it feel as you began to transition from, I got to do this to lose fat, to, I got to do this to not only be a good teacher, be a role model for my students, but also so that I can be an athlete. And what was the mental shift there?
It became it became much more fun for me.
Right.
It wasn't so much of a chore. It was the dates coming up. I don't want to necessarily compete to be first in my age group, but I don't want to be dead last either.
Mm-hmm.
So it brought a focus, a level of focus to my training that was, I think, really sorely missing before.
And as far as the training goes, I would assume you did copious amounts of cardio, but how about resistance training?
I probably did 3 to 4 days a week. And I know my resistance training was a little bit different than others because I teach resistance training in the group fitness setting.
Like body pump?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
So it was not quite as structured as it should have been. And then on the days that I didn't teach, the one day a week that I did not teach that, on my fourth day, I would usually spend one specific body part and lift one day a week,
focus on
one.
In a more traditional style.
Right.
Yeah. Now, as far as, you know, on the week-to-week, since you, we say that basically you did abstain from the dangerous triggers, because otherwise it's just not going to work. Did you have any splurges, or did you have anything that tasted good during this action phase, or did you just, you know, live on straight chicken breasts and broccoli and yams?
Oh, gosh, no. I found that there were certain foods that I could eat. I'm a milk chocolate person. Cover anything in milk chocolate and I'll eat it. I found that if I switched to a dark chocolate that I got, I still enjoyed it, but it wasn't, I don't know why, but it didn't have the same effect as a standard milk chocolate would. So I could incorporate a little bit of that into my splurge meal for the week.
So what would your splurge meal be like for a week?
Oh, it would vary from week to week. A lot of times I would tend to steer clear of the trigger foods, and I would do, we do like chips and queso every once in a while, or I would include a margarita or a glass of wine. Other than that, the food itself was pretty much the same.
Right.
And, you know, I would choose to spend my calories more on a dessert rather than a fried something or other.
Right. Well, it's been, you know, basically it's been about 3 years that you've kept this weight off. And do you still feel a tug toward unhealthy eating from time to time?
Yes.
And what do you do to overcome that feeling? You obviously haven't given into it much, or you'd be much heavier.
It depends. If it's my bad time is the 8 o'clock hour after the kids go to bed. Now we have a puppy. I will either take her for a walk, or I will have a sugar-free popsicle or a cup of hot tea, something trying to replace the habits. And, you know, I don't always win. There are times when I still do give in to that, and I just don't let it get out of control.
Mm-hmm. Well, and obviously you're not, like you said, for the most part, you're staying clear of the triggers. Because
yes,
having a sugar-free popsicle for whatever reason is not triggerish for you, and even if it were, the calories are extremely low, of course.
Right. The key for me is not to keep, I don't keep it in the house still.
Right.
I just don't. If it's here, I will eat it. So I learned, you know, 3 years ago, it's just better, and nobody needs it. There's no reason to keep that stuff in the house. Everybody is healthier, because of it.
What, if any, are the top two or three supplements that you take pretty much no matter what? Anything?
L-glutamine.
Okay.
And, oh dear, I would say if you consider protein powder, the whey protein isolate.
Yeah, that's a supplement.
Those two are staples.
What about a multivitamin?
I do. I usually do the one a day.
Mm-hmm. Any essential fatty acids or anything?
I do. Every once in a while I do the Udos.
Yeah.
But we eat enough salmon where I don't feel the need consistently to supplement.
Right. Makes sense. So I think you had said at when you were what? I think you said you were a 16, 18 when you were how heavy?
About 180.
Okay. And what's every day for you now? What size?
What size? Yeah. About a 10.
Oh, that's awesome. That's got to be, I mean, it, you know, for not having this massive amount of weight change, do you attribute that to the really a big change in shape due to the resistance training?
Yes.
Man, I mean, that's incredible to go drop from an 8, 16, 18 to a, oh, even a 10, 12 with 20 pounds.
Yeah, that's what shocked me, is the weight didn't change much, but my size changed quite a bit.
Right, right. Well, you know, where are you going from here? Are you considering anything in the future that, you know, what have you done? Because your future is, because we're going back 3 years, the future is now.
Right.
What have you done that you would have never considered had you not been so successful with this transformation?
Oh, my gosh.
The competing, well, for one, I bet.
Right, yeah. Being in a bathing suit in front of 500 other people was completely unthinkable 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That was one. Actually enjoying a fitness or, you know, an athletic event. And my big accomplishment for me was we went to Cabo San Lucas about a year and a half ago, my husband and I, and I could actually wear a bikini and not feel embarrassed.
Yeah.
That was just a huge...
I wonder what that was worth.
Me.
What was that worth, Jen?
every second
yeah.
that it took.
Exactly. Has anything in your life changed other than the physical?
Yes. I felt when I was at my heaviest, I really felt that I was setting my one son up at the time, and then when I gained the weight back again, my second son up for childhood obesity, health issues that there was no reason to set them up for. So for me, not only changing physically, but my approach to health and fitness, I think has really helped me become a better mother, a better spouse, a better fitness instructor. I'm just more able, just to be confident and know that what I'm doing and what I'm teaching is going to lead people down a better path.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, when you were 257, you were still really young, so had any health issues crept up yet?
Not really.
Right.
I had chronic back problems, and my knees would hurt when I would try to run. And I thought it was the weight, the extra weight that I was carrying, and as soon as I had lost the weight, I don't have those problems anymore.
People ask me all the time, and you alluded to it, and I just want to see what you say. People do ask me all the time, Dave, what's the difference between the leanest lifestyle and body for life? What would you say is the biggest difference?
Oh, dear.
Between my program and body for life?
Details.
The details.
Absolutely. I think Body for Life is an excellent tool for people that are just getting started. You know, it's not overwhelming. It's very basic. And if the people aren't willing to put in the time and the effort that it takes to really achieve the results that the leanest lifestyle can give you, it's a good starting block. But if you're really wanting to take it to the extra level, you know, to that next level, I really don't think you can do it without the leanest lifestyle.
Okay, thank you. What would you say about the potential idea or concept of even a beginner learning one program and doing it once?
I think that would be ideal. As a person who's been obese, I don't know that when I first started Body for Life, I don't know that I was ready for the level of commitment that I was able to give later.
Right. Yeah, because we do change over time.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. And the way you describe it, by the way, the transition from Body for Life to Leanest Lifestyle is extremely common. So it's just a reinforcing of a lot of what I've heard for many years now and what my clients have said and what we've even heard on other interviews like this. So it's great. Well, you were successful, no doubt. In fact, you've gotten some notoriety that a lot of people who make these transformations just haven't got. You were featured in, what, Fitness Magazine?
Yes.
Now, what year and all that kind of stuff?
That was not this past year. It was January 2005, and it was in the I Did It section.
You were in the I Did It section. What month? Do you remember?
January.
The January 2005 issue of Fitness Magazine.
Yes.
In the I Did It section. And you're about to be featured again.
Yes.
Where are you going this time?
I'm flying to New York on Sunday to do the cover shoot for Women's World magazine.
Women's World?
Yes.
Oh, that's just a little magazine. They hardly have any readers at all, with only like 1.6 million readers.
Right.
That's awesome. I see Women's World everywhere, of course. How do you feel about, you're going to be on the cover, right?
Yes.
I mean, if all goes well, you're going to be on the cover. So how do you feel about being the big picture on the cover?
It's a little surreal.
Yeah.
but it's nice knowing that I'm close enough to where I want to be, to where it's not too stressful.
Right. Right.
So that's a good thing.
Yeah, well, it's that, you know, I think that you've done the work, you've put in the work, you're prepared, and it's not as unnerving because you are prepared.
Correct.
You've got the look. So it's outstanding. Have you been featured anywhere else? You going to be featured anywhere else? Where else are you going now?
We're hoping to get on Oprah soon.
Yeah, Oprah. There you go. There you go.
No, I have. We had the local paper come out and take pictures. They're doing a story in the local paper here Monday, I believe.
Because of the Woman's World.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's big. Woman's World is a huge circulation magazine.
It is. It was quite a shock to get the phone call.
Yeah, it's great. All right, well, listen, you know, no one speaks it better than someone who's been in the trenches and has done it. And you did it. And I want to congratulate you on doing what you've done and in, putting the feelers out there, doing what you've done to kind of share the message, because it helps so many people when you do that. So in speaking to those other people that are where you were 3-4 years ago, that are trying to figure out, should I try it again? I've tried and failed a few times, or I've tried and failed many times, or the thing we all hear, and you being involved in training people in your gym and stuff, you hear it all the time too. I've tried everything.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I say right in my book, you have not tried everything. But what would you say to the person who's trying to figure out if they should try it again, or whether they should try the leanest lifestyle and all that kind of stuff? What do you say to that person?
You have to give it one more shot. When you stop trying, that's when you're going to fail. And I know without a doubt, and I've tried just about every diet there is. And the big difference is this is not a diet. This is something that is completely adaptable to your lifestyle. And it does take hard work and it takes effort. And there's nothing wrong with you. You just have to do it. You have to get it done.
Excellent advice. And I'm just going to ask one more question, because a lot of people believe that they've got to, and there's nothing wrong with this, by the way. I say over and over and over again, having a good in-person personal trainer to show you how to exercise, how to do things properly, or to take group classes like what you teach, there's just simply no substitute. Now, sure, there's in-home video. It's great. There's lots of kind of self-serve things you can do. And for a certain class of people, it's the best thing for them. As far as the typical in-person personal trainer showing someone how to do resistance training, don't think there's any substitute for that whatsoever. So I'm very big on in-person personal trainers for exercise when it's the right person, the right fit, and mm-hmm. the personal trainer is really good. But a lot of people think that's the only way they're ever going to do it. They think, Oprah has a personal trainer, she has a chef. She has all of the access to everything imaginable, and of course, she's been able to keep off most of her weight, and she's done pretty well finally after all these years. And so that's probably what I'm going to need, and since I can't afford that, then it's just not going to work. What I want to ask you is this. How many times did you and I meet in person while you were making this transformation?
None.
And how many times have you and I talked on the phone?
That's the first time.
So you were able to take the program from the book and implement at least some of the tools online and get those to work for you.
Yes.
For at least a period of time. But you really took the information from the book and you just absorbed it and you put it into practice and you made it work for you.
Yes, I did.
Without ever meeting anybody like me, without ever meeting the person who wrote it and having them come and stand side by or by your side and say, don't eat this, don't eat that. Let me cook this for you.
Right.
You were able to make it work. And that's kind of I think that's an important message, that you can do it without having everything, that Oprah does.
Exactly.
And as you said, you said it, you know, again, better than I ever could. You said it's adaptable to your lifestyle. So anything else you want to add, anything that you just must say, and we'll close the interview.
The only thing I would say to somebody that was on the fence, you know, everybody waits, you talked about in the book too, until life settles down, until things, you can get a better grasp on things. It doesn't happen. And if you keep waiting, you know, there are no do-overs in life. If you keep waiting, life's going to pass you by. And there's no better time than right now.
Couldn't say it any better. You know what? It's been a pleasure speaking with you. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy day to spend some time with us and share your story. It's outstanding. We look forward to seeing you on the cover of Woman's World. I believe that that magazine is going to hit the stands around the end of November, if I'm correct.
Yes.
And we'll be watching for you. So make sure that you touch base with us inside the club and let us know when things are happening. And have a safe trip and enjoy your time in the spotlight there. It's great. And so few people are going to get the opportunity that you're about to get. So I really hope that you enjoy the moment in the moment.
I hope so too. I'm very excited.
Jen, thanks again. Have a good day.
Thank you, Dave.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Club Lifestyle or to take a free 30-day test drive as a member, just visit www.leannesslifestyle.com. That's www.leannesslifestyle.com. Make sure you check out the many other success stories we have available through our podcasting and success gallery area of our website.